Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I was just listening to your hit on Dan Patrick's show.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hero. Yeah, I haven't
said a word about this, by the way. Like, it's everyone else that's like, hey, I heard you were on the Patrick show this morning.
By the way, we're going to replay that, aren't we?
We do have to. It's only 7 minutes long.
If we don't replay that today,
why would we replay an interview of me? Like, because I'm on the show right now.
You know why you should replay it? Is I thought your enthusiasm and passion was very evident, very much unlike when we do the show every day.
Oh, yeah, listen to them carve me in noodles. You got that ready there, back there, whoever is back there?
Well, Mullen's off again today.
This Mullen's is really enjoying.
I don't know what Mullen's doing, but
you don't have that ready.
I think, you know what it was? I think Mullen's may have taken the day off thinking that the Raptors were going to win last night, and him and Larry might have got into it.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that.
I think there were some cagey people that took today off thinking, this is going to get to a late one, and you don't want to show up to work either hungover or still drunk, so I'm going to take today off. That's a cagey veteran move.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely could be the case.
Either way, Ray, come Thursday, somebody in Boston or St. Louis is going to be missing work. Put it that way.
Yeah, there's so many people, like when you watch these, you know, the View parties now, and like St. Louis had 30,000 people the other night, and you know, like you know what this place is like when they win. There's going to be some people that are either angry drinking or happy drinking on Wednesday night, tomorrow night. I just think Boston's going to win. I can't imagine they're going to lose three times at home.
Well, I'm with you on that. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. But what I've learned this whole spring is the Stanley Cup playoffs have made no sense at all. They really have not.
I can't.
They haven't made any sense at any point.
Everyone has asked me, like, who do you think is going to win this? I said, you lost me after Tampa went out. Because everything kind of just, like, predictability.
That was 10 days into the playoffs.
I know. But it just, and there were some fantastic teams that went through, and believe me, Boston's an outstanding team. St. Louis, I think, Ray, you did choose them at the start of the playoffs, did you not?
Yeah, because of the way they finished. But I remember saying, I have no faith in this pick, but I'm going to take them anyway. And we would have had Boston in the top five teams, except most of us felt like, okay, if they get by Toronto, they're probably going to lose to Tampa anyway. Then it wasn't Tampa.
Right. Like, that's, so I've said to everyone, they're like, who's going to win? I have no idea. I have none, because just when you think, okay, this team's got a little momentum, the other team just bounces right back. Like, the stat line of Rask in elimination games compared to Binnington in bounce back games. So is it going to be a goaltender duel, or is it going to be a 7-6 game?
For St. Louis's way of life, it better be a low scoring game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they can win a 5-4 game tomorrow. First of all, maybe the unthinkable will happen and they'll get a power play goal.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's going to have to be really physical, really tight, 2-1, 3-2 max for St. Louis to win. I think Boston could win a different way.
Well, did you guys see Dreger's tweet today about the ice crew and Doug Armstrong going back and forth?
I would go nuts if, like, Don't screw around. The Zamboni's broke, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but
you remember, guys, like, this was the oldest trick. Montreal did it all the time. They'd keep their black aces on the ice, and there's a gigantic clock at each end of the rink, and they go, oh, sorry, we didn't know what time it was. And then you couldn't get out for your morning skate till 10 minutes late, and everybody'd be pissed off. And they did it all the time. And I mean, maybe Doug Armstrong could have walked closer to the Zamboni guy and said, open the door and get out there instead of yelling it, and then nobody would have known. But he was right. I mean, the Boston crew here was just, they were screwing around, and they were going to make them wait as long as they could.
I like that.
And who's,
I love it.
Isn't it Grzelcyk's dad?
Yeah, I believe he is like a head of the ice.
He's one of the crew. I don't know if he was there today or not, but it wasn't his dad that said to Armstrong, you know, who went to the bathroom in your Cheerios this morning.
Right. Yeah, well, you could go also to, remember in Detroit, you'd play Detroit, there'd be a fresh coat of paint in the visitor's dressing room. And it would just reek of fumes. Oh, sorry, we painted the room for you. Right. Yeah.
Well, why would you expect, though, the Boston Ice Crew to do you the favor?
They're not.
Like, why would they ever do that? Perfect world, of course, you should get out there on time or whatever. It's the cup final. You're trying to prepare for the biggest game in franchise history, but they're not going to do you any favors on the road.
Yeah. No, but maybe somebody from the league should be there. Like, what else are they doing? It's an off day.
That's a good point.
You know, like, are they, you're leaving it to a bunch of homers we should get our guys off the ice to make it better for St. Louis? Forget it. Those guys are in there. They're Bruins fans. Celtics fans, man, if they can screw around with the visiting team, they're going to do it for sure.
Oh, man, they wouldn't be able to exist in Boston if they didn't do
that. Well, yeah, they're telling, right now, they're sitting having a pint at their local pub telling a story of how they messed with the St. Louis Blues and the manager came down and yelled at them.
And they're heroes for it.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's bought their round for that.
I saw that somebody had the audacity to ask Carl Gunnarsson about playing another Game 7 in that building.
Right.
Really?
Because he was on the Leafs team at 13. Like, what a psychological grenade to drop on that guy.
I would have just said, that was so long ago, just whatever. Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm not even on that team anymore. Like, this is the St. Louis Blues.
That had to have been someone from Toronto.
It had to have been. Ray, can you confirm or deny, was that someone from Toronto or what?
Yes, I believe it was a Torontonian.
Yeah, it had to be. It had to be.
That. I'm just to confirm that, I'm taking a quick peek here, but I'm pretty sure it's a Toronto guy.
Yeah, I would think that's not someone from St. Louis that would be asking him, or Boston, and for that matter, they've moved on as well. It's got to be someone from Toronto covering the Cup Final.
It is a Toronto guy.
Yeah, that's a bit greasy.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure he's like, oh, yeah, let me play that out again.
Yeah, that was fun. Great. Yeah, what, do you want the full details when we're up 4-1 with 11 minutes to go? How much time do you have? I'll take you through the whole experience all over again with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So, obviously, the big topic in Toronto is the Raptor game last night. And, you know, there were topics galore that came out of it. But the Kevin Durant injury and the fan reaction. I was in the building, and there were a fair amount of people that were cheering. I think originally they were cheering, not because he was injured, but the symbolism of him not being a part of the game anymore was going to clearly give their team an advantage, which is a very primal reaction, but it's also a realistic one for sports fans. But then beyond that, that's when it got into stupid territory, where people were genuinely cheering this guy's major injury. As a former athlete yourself, I'm sure you've been in positions like that, maybe not as severe, but what was your reaction to that last night?
Well, when he went down, of course, we were watching in a group, and right away everybody's like, oh, he's down. And so, of course, you know it's something to do with, you know, whatever the injury really was, you know, his calf injury. And to see the people cheering, I don't care if it was 1,000 or 3,000. I don't know. You were in there. You might be able to know. But and it tells me, and I know people get upset when you talk about when we played, but if you didn't play, you can't really understand what goes into trying to play and trying to get yourself back healthy and how.
Okay, we'll get Ray back on a better line. I don't have a phone in here. I just realized that the first time since we moved. Right. There's no phone for me to kill the line anymore. So I have to rely on the grappler.
The question is, would you have killed the line?
Oh, absolutely. That was inaudible. You couldn't hear him anymore. I don't know what he was doing, but...
Well, Well, it's not Ray. He's probably sitting there. It's the connection.
Yeah, it's the connection.
It's not his fault.
I'm not blaming the person in particular.
No, it's just frustrating. But apparently on Dan Patrick, your phone had a little wonky situation. Did you not know that?
I heard about that.
I mean, if we replayed it...
You know what we should do?
It's just such a joke we're not replaying
it. No, we're not. We're going to replay it.
Why don't we listen to it?
We can break down a few of your clips, your hot takes.
I've been giving them to you.
I know, but I think...
I want to hear it.
I think you had a little different energy on Dan Patrick.
Well, because like Ray's claiming that that's the truth.
No, I agree.
People were going crazy.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry misses a three... And you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
Steph
See,
was
it
dejected.
Went out a little bit there.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't too bad. If that's as bad as it gets, that's not too bad.
Well, that's what just happened to Ray.
All right. Well, I think we have Ray back. Can you hear us, Ray, or what?
Yeah, I can. Like, what happened there? I was only gone 30 seconds. Holy smokes, he's on the defensive again.
Oh, he hates a bad phone.
Well, here's the thing, man. We've got this new studio, and for 7 years when I was working at TSN, I had the phone right beside me. So I was the judge, jury, and executioner. The second I determined that that's enough, I would put you on hold. I don't have a phone in here. So I'm relying on the grappler to decide when to make a call on a bad cell reception. And I got to be honest, it's not the best start for grapples back there, because your phone, it's like you threw it in the ocean or something all of a sudden.
I have not moved.
Okay.
I have not moved. So anyways,
I
was saying, like, there is a little bit of, you know, like the fans, they look at the players, they're on the court or on the field or on the ice, and it doesn't matter if they're playing at 70% or 80%, they don't care. This is the luxury of being a fan, is you expect the performance that you want from the player, you expect them to be healthy, and you don't really care if they're not, because they're just a player for your team. For the most part, people cheer for their teams, and the players are just like actors that move through, but it's still your team. And so I'm not surprised when it happens. I'm really disappointed because people can't seem to separate that, hey, this guy's hurt and he's hurt bad. At some point, that had to be pretty clear that it was that he didn't lose his shoe, that he was really injured. And there's still people cheering, and I don't like it. And look, in Philadelphia at one time, they were throwing batteries out of the stands at a football game. Now, was that 1,000 people? Because there's 60,000 people in there. It doesn't mean they're all idiots. It means the ones that are throwing batteries are idiots. And I would say the same thing for last night.
Yeah. Well, that's where this gets carried away a little bit. All of a sudden, the whole city has to apologize for it, for the whole country.
No.
Clearly, that's not the case. I mean, there were a certain amount of people that reacted poorly, inappropriately. And it's not like they weren't aware of the injury.
There was
like,
Boston Bruins fans beating the hell out of each other in the nosebleeds the other night. Why don't they apologize for that behavior?
But to who?
Well,
I don't know. It's just ridiculous behavior.
Those people wouldn't apologize because they don't care. The people that were booing last night, they're not going to apologize because they don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, the hell with him. If his leg fell off, too bad.
Yeah.
Right? It's better for the Raptors. Like, they can't differentiate. They can't see that is actually a guy. It's not just a robot that's running around in a Golden State jersey.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth, is that it, like, fans, you know, and I'm sure that can be difficult for athletes to accept, but that's what comes with the job at the same time.
It's everywhere. It's not just reserved for Toronto. Ray, you just talked about it in Philadelphia. We've played in New York, Ray. We both played for both of those organizations. We've witnessed and heard some things, you know, in those buildings. It's everywhere, and that's why I came back with that formula, 80-20. And I think that may even be a bit rich, but 80% of people will be classy. They will love you no matter what. The 20%, like Ray, like you say, they don't know and they don't care. They will be arrogant about it. They'll be ignorant about it. They just happen to be a little bit louder. And last night, those were the 20% or less that were louder and made everyone else look poor. And then the people that do have class, or the people that, you know, took a step back after their initial reaction, were like, hey, we're gonna stand up and give KD some love, because you never want to see a top player, regardless of on any team, struggle. Like, yeah, it's better for your organization if KD's not playing against it, but, man, he's a fantastic player.
You don't
want
to see anyone get injured, but that is important, though. I'm not. It's a dangerous game we're playing here, because people are going to interpret this as condoning it. But, again, I think a lot of the cheering was, wow, what an advantage for my team.
That's what I was excited about. I'm like, we now have a shot. That monster who was hitting three after three is out of the game.
Right, which is inhumane, but it's not, hey, thank God he blew his Achilles out.
Or I'm glad he blew his Achilles.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I don't think anyone's happy that he's got to go through
12 months of... You're right, that's the gamesmanship for the fandom, yeah.
You know, the fact is, without him, it's a big advantage to the team. Mm-hmm. And, you know...
There's no, like, that's
athletes are human, fans are human too.
You can't look at,
but that's the luxury of the fan. They don't have to care.
Right.
They don't, and that's why they don't they can never understand what goes in to getting yourself prepared to play, to putting yourself on the line. He knew, I mean, I don't know, but he knew that he wasn't anywhere near 100%. He must have felt this is good enough and I can play. And that from a personal experience, the only thing I can tell you about is I had knee surgery in L.A. We were in playoff race. I played 11 days after I had a scope done. After every game for the rest of the year, I went with the doctor in the back room at the end of the game. He stuck a needle in my knee and pulled all the fluid out. Did it for every game in the stretch run because it was so important. For me, at that time, it was the only decision to make to try and help to get into the playoffs. Now I'm way older, and I'm like, man, was that stupid, because my knee's a mess. But at the time, it's the only decision to make, and that's why Durant played last night. People are right. If he was up 3-1, he wouldn't have played, but they weren't. And he thought, I can make a difference here. And we saw what a difference he can make. It's a shame because, he's out long, long term. With this, I don't know if you guys have seen Jalen Rose's clip today, but it was pretty spectacular. And if you haven't seen it, find it on Twitter. It's pretty awesome going through the whole thing of the player and what matters and what doesn't matter. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, well, and then you look at the flip side of it. This was brought to my attention this afternoon. You look at Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio. By all accounts, tons of peer pressure for him to play. Like team meetings, what are you doing? Why are you not out there? And he decided, I'm not playing. I can't play. I don't think I can play through it. I'm going to take responsibility for myself and my own actions, and I'm going to make a decision. And look what happened. They basically said, well, you got to go then. And they basically took shots at him directly and indirectly as he left.
Yeah, there were teammates of his saying, I had a worse injury and I still played, and you didn't play.
Yeah.
Like Tony
Brian,
Parker.
Who was the running back this year in Pittsburgh?
Well, Le'Veon Bell.
Right. And so when he held out, he got back to a point and he's like, no, I'm not going to put myself at risk for injury here. I'm the contract's a mess, but I'm staying out the rest of the year.
Right. He's not even doing it for mini camp.
He didn't even show up for the original OTAs.
He's like, no, thanks.
How about that? Well, he doesn't have to now. He's got a 4-year deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. I mean, that was a personal decision, a business decision.
Yep.
But it was an individual decision in the world of team sports, where it's, every coach and GM is going to tell you it's the name on the front as opposed to the back. But you got to take control of your own career.
We joke around, but remember Verbata had the sniffles, didn't play that night.
Crept up into his chest.
Well, I mean, the sniffles is a bit different than an Achilles injury.
You're right. I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying...
In his mind, he decided that he wasn't well enough to play.
It's an individual athlete making a decision of what he's going to do. And sometimes it's frowned upon by the organization.
Think of how tough it would be to make that decision when you know everybody else is like, damn, we need you. Like, we need you to play. And we've all felt it, and we've all seen it, and we've probably been on the side of saying to a teammate, we could use you tonight.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to being the injured guy trying to squeeze your way back in the game, too, when we've probably all done that, too.
Well, but there's an interesting angle where the players have to be responsible for that. You know, like, Ray, you've been detailing this, and you're right. There's a difference between a fan and someone who's played the game. And there aren't very, very many occasions where I personally will accept the, hey, I played, you didn't, so my opinion means more. But this one would be one because of I can't speak to what it would be like to be injured in an opponent's building. You guys can speak to that.
Right.
But then you've also got a scenario here, to your point, where you would think that the teammates would understand what the athlete's going through.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of feels like the teammates are acting the same way a fan would on the street. Hey, why aren't you playing? So why aren't the teammates being like, oh, I get it, man. I'm not going to put any peer pressure on you. But it happens.
It depends because it's only human nature. Like you say, you're down 3-1. You're looking at a guy, and if he's close or you think he's close, you're like, can you push through it? The only thing I could think of at the top of my head, this was years ago, and it was in the minors. We had a guy with a groin injury. He couldn't play on the trip, but we're out at the bar. This guy is cutting up the dance floor. And guys are like, are you kidding me? This guy isn't in the lineup, but he's John Travolta on the dance floor.
I had Peter Laviolette come into the training room and say, I have a torn labrum too. Why aren't you playing tonight? I go, you're a coach. Yeah. You have to shovel pucks around the ice. What the hell does that... How does that affect your torn labrum? I can't move my arms. I can't get hit. I can't shoot the puck. I can yell and scream and blow a whistle. What's your point? And he just walked out. And I'm like, what a...
A dope.
Yeah.
What a reasonable individual.
Dream. What?
You must have been a coach's dream.
Well, the coach is saying, I have the same injury as you. Yeah, that's right, you do. But I have to play. You're coaching. I don't care that you have the same injury. It was just an idiotic comment.
But I just remember guys, like, you'd hear the phrase, you know, are you going tonight? And the guy would go, no, I can't. And the answer would be, oh. And the guy would turn away. Right, and walk away. Like, there was the subtle pressure all the time because we all want our best guys to play because we all want to win.
Yeah.
And yep. It's there. And so I'm sure after a while, Durant probably gets tired, too, of people saying, hey, are you getting better? How's it today? Are you better today? Are you this week better than last week? After a while, you're like, go to hell, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can, man.
Well, that's the truth. And, you know, it's a shame what happened last night. He's going to have to own it. You know, he's a free agent this summer, too. He's probably not playing for another year, if that. Like, he may have just wiped out the 2019-2020 season altogether.
Okay, so you're another team. And I don't know the contract rules, how much he can be paid. But say you can sign him for 4 years at $40 million or something. Do you do that, considering next year you're going to pay him $40 million bucks to rehab?
I would, personally.
Me too.
Yeah, he's absolutely. That good.
And, he's and worth the risk.
And we don't know what the MRI is coming back. It could be, you know, couldn't be the worst rupture or whatever you've ever seen. Like,
Have you ever seen a calf ripple like that? That was weird.
It looked like someone, like there was a bullet inside his leg.
The only thing I can compare it to, Justin Williams did a beep test, and you literally heard a pop, and he was done.
Oh.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm on a tryout. I'm a right winger. He's a right winger.
Oh, you
way we go
back in the game.
Look, I was a Raptor fan. I was like, yeah.
All right, Ray. We'll do it again tomorrow and really tee up Game 7.
Okay, boys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada. Plus, get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com.